You're listening to audio from Queen City Church. Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will encourage you and offer practical steps for a relationship with God that keeps getting better and better.
Today we are in week number 6 of a 7-week series that'll end next week on Easter Sunday. And we're calling this series Sunday to Sunday. And this is where we are studying everything that happened in the Passion Week day by day, starting on Palm Sunday, which happens to be today. And then we've gone from Palm Sunday all the way through to Resurrection Sunday next week. And really to help us kind of get in the mode for Easter, I'm excited to let you know that our team has worked really hard to provide a brand new 7-day devotional that you can find exclusively on our brand new and improved church app. And so for the next 7 days, you can go and we can all be a part of this devotional over the next 7 days that'll really kind of, I think, help prepare us for Easter. And so we're doing this devotional, we're doing this big, long series talking about this most important week of the most important person who's ever lived. And just so you know, the reason why we're spending so much time and intentionality on this week is because the Bible talks a lot about this week. In fact, 29 of the 89 chapters of the Gospels are the Passion Week. It's what we've been talking about in this series. So for the math people out there, 32.6, almost a third, 32.6 of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the 4 eyewitness accounts of Jesus' time and ministry on this earth, are about this Passion Week. I'm telling you, this is the most important week in human history. And this week, if you're taking notes, which I hope you are, today is loaded. I mean, I've got 30 verses and 31 minutes and 45 seconds to share those 30 verses as well as some other things that I want to share. And so it's going to be so full. So I encourage you to write down some things, what God speaks to you. And because we're going to talk about what happened on Saturday. That's what we're talking about today. What happened on Saturday of the Passion Week? It's the day between Good Friday, which we talked about last week, and Resurrection Sunday that we're talking about next week. Now, many theologians actually call this Saturday Silent Saturday. An author and pastor, Max Lucado, he actually wrote about this Saturday, this day, and he says that Easter weekend discussions tend to skip Saturday. Friday and Sunday get the press. The crucifixion and resurrection command our thoughts, but don't ignore Saturday. You have them too, silent Saturdays, the day between the struggle and the solution, the question and the answer, the offered prayer and the answer thereof. Saturdays have their purpose. Now in the Bible, if you look at the 4 Gospels, there's only 5 verses that specifically talk about what happened on Saturday. And we're gonna read those right off the bat. Matthew chapter 27, starting in verse 62. It says, the next day, talking about Saturday, on the Sabbath, which was a day of rest, the leading priests and Pharisees went to see Pilate, who was the Roman governor of the time. And they told him, sir, we remember what that deceiver, talking about Jesus, once said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise from the dead. So we request that you seal the tomb until the 3rd day. This will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing his body and then telling everyone that he was raised from the dead. If that happens, we'll be worse off than we were at first. And Pilate replied to this request, take guards and secure it the best you can. So they sealed the tomb and posted guards to protect it. That's what happened, those 5 verses in the Bible on Saturday, that's it. So essentially, they just beefed up security at Jesus's tomb, which I love because it made the resurrection even more miraculous. That's what happens in the Bible on that Saturday. But today, I want to show you one very important detail in the book of Luke that actually happened on Friday that helps us better understand what happened on Saturday. So after Jesus dies on the cross, in Luke chapter 23, starting in verse 50, it says, "Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph. He was a member of the Jewish high council, but he had not agreed with the decision and actions of the other religious leaders. He was from the town of Arimathea in Judea, and he was," and I want everybody on the count of three to say that word, one, two, three, waiting. He was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. He went to Pilate and asked for Jesus's body. Then he took the body down from the cross and wrapped it in a long sheet of linen cloth and laid it in a new tomb that had been carved out of rock. This was done late on Friday afternoon, the day of preparation, as the Sabbath, as Saturday, was about to begin. So I want you to see, church, that this Saturday was so much more than just a Sabbath. That this Saturday was so much more than just another day of rest. That according to verse 51, it says, number one, that for followers of Jesus, Saturday was a day of waiting. That for the disciples, the people who had been with Jesus over the last 3 years, that for them, for the disciples, for followers of Jesus, Saturday was a day of waiting. And when you read through the Gospels, you'll see that when Jesus was alive, many, many times he actually told his followers, he told the disciples what was going to happen. Like, he made it clear. He called his shot. He said, this is what's going to happen. Let me show you one example. In Matthew chapter 20, starting in verse 17, as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside privately and told them what was going to happen. "Listen," he said, "we're going up to Jerusalem, where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. They will sentence him to die. They will hand him over to the Romans to be mocked, flogged with a whip, and crucified. But on the third day, he will be raised from the dead." Now, here's what I want you to see. That on that Saturday, everything in that verse had already happened. It was like check, 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 except for that very last sentence. Jesus had called his shot. Everything that he had said had come true, except for that very last one. On that very last one, they were still waiting. So if you think about it, that Saturday was a day of waiting. And it was a day that was stuck in between two completely different days. It was stuck in between Friday, which was a day of pain. It was a day of really hard things happening. And right in between Friday and then on the other side was Sunday. And Sunday was a very different day. It wasn't a day of pain, it was a day of promise. And Saturday was right in the middle of those 2 days. It was in between Friday and Sunday. It was in between pain and the promise. And the truth is, and I felt like God highlighted this to me this week, is that some of you are here today and you're living in that same exact in-between. You are right now in the middle of a Saturday. You've experienced some type of pain, hurt, loss, heartbreak. Maybe you're going through something very difficult and challenging. Maybe even the hardest thing you've ever had to go through in your life. Right now, you're in a tough season. And on the other hand, you are hanging on to faith and to hope and to a promise that God is eventually going to come through. That whatever you're experiencing over here, that it won't last forever. That this season will eventually end, that it won't last forever. That you at some point will experience change and breakthrough or restoration or healing or a miracle or relief or an open door. But it's not here yet. And right now, you're just waiting. You're in a Saturday. Maybe that's in your relationships, maybe in friendships, Maybe in your marriage or with your children. Maybe that's in trying to have children. Maybe that's in your finances or in your job or in your business or your career. Maybe it's in your health, your emotional health. Maybe it's in your hopes and your dreams for your future. But right now, it's Saturday. You're in a day that's in between. You're in between pain and promise. And right now, just like they were on that Saturday, you're waiting. And listen, I get it. This is not the most fun subject to talk about. I wish that I could only talk to you about the fun stuff. I wish that every single week I could just get up and talk to you about all the amazing, awesome, encouraging things that just is fun to hear. But for you to grow and for you to become spiritually mature, you need to know, and it's a fact, that waiting is a part of following Jesus. I know that's not fun. I know that's not, like, nobody's pumped to be able to hear that. Nobody's like, yes! There was no applause whenever that came on the screen. Totally get it. Nobody likes this. Nobody wants to sign up for this. Listen, this is nobody's evangelism strategy. You're not gonna go with your Easter invite and say, hey, guess what? You should follow Jesus. You know why? Because you'll wait. Get ready. It's awesome. Like, I get it. Nobody likes, and the truth is, we live in a culture that hates waiting. We live in this instant right now society where you can have whatever you want, whenever you want, and as much of it as you want. So this is very countercultural. So waiting is very, very, very hard for us. I think this is one of those, like, eat your vegetable parts of following Jesus. Come on, parents, where are you at? It's like no kid wants to learn that lesson. No, like nobody wants to be able to eat vegetables, but you need to eat your vegetables. Just like nobody wants to be able to learn about waiting and that's a part of following Jesus. But you need, it's not fun, but it is true. Waiting is a part of following Jesus. Let me just show you. In Psalm chapter 27, verse 14, it says, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart. And just in case you didn't get it the first time, and wait for the Lord. Psalm 33, verse 20 says, we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Psalm 37, verse 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Anybody nail that one? No, me neither. Psalm 62, verse 5 says, let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. Psalm 130, verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord, my whole being. Everything about me waits. And in his word, I put my hope. Guys, that's just one book of the Bible. I'm telling you, waiting is a part of following Jesus. But I do want to encourage you. I understand that's not a fun message, but I want to encourage you today because here's a fact. God never wastes the waiting, ever. God will never, has never, and is right now not wasting the waiting. And that's really good news because often when you're in one of these Saturdays, when you're waiting, it's so easy, right? It's so easy to feel like God isn't doing anything. Is it just me? I know for me. It is so easy for me to feel in one of these times of life where it's like, God, are you doing anything right now? And it's so easy to feel that way. It's so easy to feel like nothing is happening. It's so easy in those times to lose faith and to lose hope and to lose your joy because you just can't see anything happening or changing. It's just like Saturday. All you can see is the bad news. All you can see is what you're going through. All you can see is the pain. All you can see is the dead body that's lying in the tomb. But listen, God is always working in ways that you cannot see. He's always working behind the scenes. He's always doing things on the inside, even though it looks like things aren't changing on the outside. Like, he's not lying in a tomb uninvolved. Like, God never, ever, 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 ever wastes the waiting. And that's why Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4 says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Nobody likes that verse. No, he's like, hey guys, get some joy. Why? Problems. Trials. Yes. So joyful. But the Bible says that we can rejoice. Maybe that's not our natural, but what we can. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Let me say it this way. When we run into some Saturdays, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Let me just ask you a question, and just show, by show of hands, how many of you want endurance? How many of you want strength of character, and how many of you want confident hope of salvation? Anybody in here? I know I do. Did you see how you get it? Saturdays. That's how you get those things. There's one way to develop. I love that word, develop. That means you don't have it, but you can get it. Like, there's one way to develop endurance, strength of character, and confident hope of salvation, and that's some Saturdays. And here's what I want you to hear. God will never waste a Saturday. God never wastes the waiting. So for followers of Jesus, for the disciples, Saturday was a day of waiting. But listen, not for Jesus. He wasn't just passively waiting in the tomb, waiting for Sunday. No, number two, for Jesus, Saturday was a day not of waiting, but of warring. And we need to understand that today. That for followers of Jesus, it was a day of waiting. But for Jesus, Saturday was a day of warring. Now, there's a lot of theological debate about what Jesus actually did on this Saturday. Some believe that Jesus had to go and experience hell to actually pay for the sins of the world. And then once that happened, then our sins were actually paid for. I personally don't believe that. I personally believe that Jesus paid for our sin when on the cross he said in John chapter 19, verse 30, it is finished. And here's why. This is one of my favorite words in the Bible, because this word, it's three words in English, but it's actually one word in the original Greek, and it's the word tetelestai. And it means this. This is beautiful. It is finished, it stands finished, and it will always be finished. Now, this word at that time in that culture was actually a financial term that was used whenever the final payment had been paid on a debt. So, like, just think about if you have a car payment, or if you have student loans, or if you have credit card debt right now, and just imagine you work so hard and you're chipping away and chipping away and chipping away, and no matter what the debt is, you go online, you see that this is the final payment, you make that bad boy, and then it's tetelestai. That's what that word means. Like, there's no more. Like, it's done, it's paid for. That's what it is. So when Jesus yelled, it is finished on the cross, tetelestai, when he yelled that on the cross, he declared that our sin, that our debt has been paid in full. We don't owe anything anymore. We are totally, completely forgiven once and for all, past, present, and future. Church, that's good news. Tetelestai, it is finished. It is finished. So if Jesus wasn't doing that, If Jesus wasn't paying for our sins and if Jesus wasn't waiting, then what in the world was Jesus doing on that Saturday? Thank you for asking. How many of you, just by show of hands, have ever heard of something called the Apostles' Creed? Anybody ever heard of that? It's something that is very ancient in the Christian faith, and it's really been the staple of Christian doctrine over the last over 1,500 years. And it's this statement that just declares, I believe this, I believe that, I believe this. And it's these core Christian doctrines that literally have carried to today. And let me just show you one very interesting part of the Apostles' Creed that speaks to what happened on this Saturday. Here's what it says. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. See, the Apostles' Creed has this one little line that talks about Saturday. It says that he wasn't just passively waiting in the tomb. It says that he was going into and he was confronting and warring hell. In other words, he was warring on our behalf. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, it actually says this, that in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authority, that he disarmed the devil. In other words, they were armed, but on that Saturday, he disarmed them. So what in the world did he disarm them from? Well, Jesus himself answers that question in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, when he shows up on the scene after he had ascended into heaven at the island of Patmos, to the Apostle John, and he says this. These are words written in red in our Bible, and he says in verse 17, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. He says, I'm the beginning and the end. I'm Alpha and the Omega. I'm the A, I'm the Z, I'm everything in between. Get this, I'm Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. He says, I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And then Jesus is feeling himself, and I love it because he just amens himself. He goes, amen. I'm preaching good. If you don't amen me, I'll amen myself. And he says, amen. And then he says this, and now I have the keys of Hades and of death. The NLT translation says that I have the keys of death and the grave. Isn't it so awesome that the devil is so defeated that he doesn't even have keys to his own house? So what was Jesus doing on that Saturday? What was he doing in the in-between? He was disarming the devil. And he was taking the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And that is what we get to celebrate next week. But I want you to see that he wasn't just waiting. He was warring. But here's why it's so important to you and I. Because that actually impacts our life today. It's not just something that we're talking about historically that happened 2,000 years ago. You want to know why this is such a big deal to you and I right here, right now, in 2024? Why Saturday is so important? It's because Saturday, it reminds us that while we are waiting, Jesus is warring. This is why what happened on this day was so significant to you and I. This is why it impacts our life today, is because it reminds us that while we are waiting, Jesus is warring. And this is just as true today as it was on that Saturday 2,000 years ago. So you may be waiting right now. You may be in a Saturday. You may be waiting, but rest assured, he is not. He's working. He's warring. He's fighting for you. And practically, right now, if you find yourself in a waiting season, if you are right now in the middle of a Saturday, God put you on my heart so much. And this next part of the message, how I'm gonna end this bad boy, it is just for you. Because I feel like God gave me two things to speak directly to you. Because every time I go and I prepare, I ask God, I say, God, what do you wanna share to the people? I feel like my job is just simply to say in public what God tells me in private. And so you're here and it's resonating. You're like, I'm in a Saturday. I'm in an in-between. I've experienced something and I know God's gonna come through, but right now I can't see it. And if you're here, let me just speak practically to you for a moment. And I wanna challenge you and encourage you with two very specific things. Because number one, I don't want you to just wait. I want you to wait, hopefully. Don't just wait. But wait, hopefully. There is a big difference between waiting and waiting hopefully. Because let me remind you of something that is very logical, but also at the same time, very hard to remember when you're in the middle of a Saturday, is that Saturdays don't last forever. Like seasons don't last forever. Listen, all seasons, every single one of them, good ones, bad ones, blah ones, every single one eventually end. Come on, where are you at, Bengals fans? You know this. You know this. Last year, QB1 gets injured. We didn't make the playoffs, but guess what's going to happen in September? We're starting 0-0 en route to the Super Bowl in Jesus' name. I'm telling you. That season didn't carry over to this one. That's because all seasons, at some point, eventually end. I don't know if you have been thinking about this much. I know I have. I keep thinking about the fact that 4 years ago, I can't believe it's been that long, but 4 years ago, if you think about what was happening in the world, everything in the world got turned upside down 4 years ago. Everything. Whenever the global pandemic hit and COVID hit, I don't know if you remember what you felt in that time. I remember just so much fear, so much anxiety, every bit of normalcy literally stripped from us. Everything canceling, and all the things we could do, we couldn't do. And I just remember during that time, it was just so hard and awkward and uncomfortable. And it was just, I just remember everything changed. What we did as a church changed. At that time, our church was only a year and a half old. And it felt like an e-brake was pulled on our church. And all of a sudden, without hardly any resources, we had to figure out how to take everything we were doing as a church and to figure out how to pull it off online. Not knowing how long it was gonna take. In our minds, we're like, this is gonna be a couple weeks, maybe. We'll take it 1 week at a time. Turns out, 6 months. 6 months of not seeing each other. 6 months of not gathering together and meeting as a church. And during that time, every week we would record an online message. And I see people in the room that really helped make that happen. And without your hard work and sacrifice, in here, like, I don't know where our church would be today. And I just remember it, for me, like how hard that was to just stare into a camera and talk with nobody in the room. And you know what's really awkward when you do that? Any humor. It's really awkward because you're like waiting, like, yeah, it's awful, awful. And some of you were around our church around that time and you remember watching those messages and you remember being in your house and watching those services. And if you remember this, but I would close each one of those messages the same exact way. I would say this. I actually went back to my notes and I wanted to write it down verbatim. This is what I would end every single of those 6 months messages. This is a season, and all seasons, good and bad, end. We will get through this, and we will get through this together. Come on, is anybody else like thankful that we're not still in that season? I am so glad that life isn't like that anymore. But just remember during that time how it felt like it was right here. And is this ever going to change? But now we have the luxury of looking back. In hindsight being 20, 24 years later, it's like, yeah, thank God that it ended. Thank God we're gathering together today. Thank God that tomorrow, that next week, we're going to celebrate the greatest day in history together. And that season, just like all seasons, eventually end. So I'm just telling you, if you're in one, hang in there. Wait, keep waiting, but don't just wait. Wait hopefully. Hang on to a scripture like Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 that says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will, not might, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up, if we don't stop waiting. So if you're waiting, don't give up. The harvest of blessing is coming. Don't quit. Don't give up. And don't just wait. Wait hopefully. But here's the good news. You don't just have to just wait. You can actually do something while you wait. Because I want to remind you that you are a follower of Jesus. So what do followers of Jesus do? We follow Jesus' example in everything. So if Jesus did it, we do it. We follow Jesus. That's what followers of Jesus do. So if you are a follower of Jesus, don't forget that. And don't forget that you can follow Jesus' example on a Saturday, and just like him, you can go to war. But just don't go to war. I'm asking you to not just go to war, but number two, war confidently. War with passion. War with confidence, knowing that God is going to come, that Sunday is coming. Raise your confidence. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4 says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We don't do that garbage. No, we are followers of Jesus, which means we war like Jesus. Verse 4 says, we use God's mighty weapons like prayer and fasting and truth from God's word, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. And when we war like that, we can be confident. And you want to know why we can be so confident even in the middle of a Saturday? Because when we war like that, we war in the name of Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, it's talking about Jesus. It says he humbled himself in obedience to God and he died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. That name is above pain. That name is above hurt, loss, heartbreak, disappointment. That name is above sickness and cancer and autism and infertility. That name is above death. That name is above depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, eating disorders. That name is above temptation and sin and addiction and rebellion. That name is above insecurity. That name is above every other name. And verse 10, and that at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. There is power in that name. And I want you to hear this. This is why we pray in Jesus' name. If you have ever wondered, why does somebody say, in Jesus' name we pray, amen? It's not because it's like the formal signature that God approves of. We do that because we are recognizing in our prayers that the name of Jesus is above every other thing that we just talked about. That Jesus' name is above. That's why we sing songs like we did earlier that says, your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands before them all. And that's why in just a moment when we have our response time and we go and we pray for each other and we receive communion and we make decisions, that we're gonna wrap up that communion time and that response time by singing, what a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. And church, I am challenging you to stand up and declare that over your Saturdays when we respond. To be able to walk out of here with our head held high in the middle of a Saturday, knowing that we can wait, hopefully, and that we can war confidently.
If there's anything in your life that we can pray for, please visit queencitypeople.com/prayer. For the latest updates on our church, follow us on social media @queencitypeople or visit queencitypeople.com.